There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and happy Monday after a crazy whirlwind of a week last week for IU football. We're talking about what had happened. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Co-host TJ Inman will be along shortly. We'll give our reaction to Kevin Wilson's resignation. We'll talk to Matt Weaver from Pigs.com about how it impacts recruiting. We'll talk about Tom Allen being promoted. And, of course, we'll talk about IU going to the Foster Farms Bowl to play Utah on December 28th. Now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I am doing very well. Kind of cold right now. Definitely is bowl season, and it feels like it.
Yeah, it's definitely bowl season. But first, before we get into that, I do want to catch up our listeners on what happened last week. I believe it was Thursday, wasn't it, or Wednesday? One of those days.
Yes, it
I don't
broke
know. It happened quickly.
Thursday around. Yeah, Thursday around like 3:15, something like that. The bombshell dropped.
Yeah, Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour, we learned that Kevin Wilson was resigning from Indiana University as their head football coach. There's a lot of stuff going around about players being forced to play with injuries. I believe there have been three players that have come out to talk about that, and then there have been players that have come out and defended Kevin Wilson, most notably. Guys like Jason Spriggs, Shane Wynn, Richard Lego from this year's team, Mitch Ewald, and then Shannon Griffith. Yeah, Corsaro. And then Shannon Griffith wrote a wonderful story about Wilson. Shannon Griffith is the father of Isaac Griffith, who had an unfortunate accident down in Florida where he nearly drowned and was in a coma down in Florida. And he was saying how Wilson – cared so much about his son that he would drive up from the Florida Keys to visit him in the hospital multiple times and so on and so forth. So, you know, it could be sour grapes on one side and something else on the other, but for whatever it is, he left $2.5 million or thereabouts on the table. So clearly there was something wrong, and Fred Glass cited philosophical differences with that. And, you know, it's you hear a lot of chatter during times like this, and we'll see where it goes. And IU hires Tom Allen as the permanent head coach at the same press conference in which they announced Kevin Wilson had resigned. So it was a busy, busy week. And then you have, of course, the bowl game. So what's your take on Kevin Wilson's resignation and the hiring of Tom Allen, TJ?
Well, it certainly caught me off guard on Thursday. You knew that it was not a on-the-field performance issue because Indiana certainly would not make a move at coaching at the coaching position for back-to-back 6-6 seasons. So you knew it was something else. I quickly found out that it was at the absolute minimum, there were concerns over Kevin Wilson's demeanor and behavior, I guess, towards some players that were injured during his time at Indiana. We know that Kevin Wilson came to Indiana from Oklahoma. And at the beginning of his head coaching tenure, while he was trying to find his way as a head coach, his behavior towards some of the people within the Indiana Athletic Department and just the Bloomington community at whole got some criticism, being too gruff and just I guess that the most simplest way to put it was he was being kind of a jerk, kind of a hard ass towards some people within the community. Now, by all accounts, that improved quite a bit fairly quickly once he kind of realized that you don't have to behave that way to be a football coach. You don't have to behave that way. Or maybe it was strictly just he had a discussion with Fred Glass and, you know, decided, okay, I need to stop behaving like that or I'm not going to have a job very long. Whatever the case, it appears by all accounts that bad behavior, I guess, kind of righted itself pretty quickly, and he began to get more well-liked. I don't think he was ever somebody that, you know, the majority of people just absolutely adored, but I think he was more well-liked as time went on and kind of found himself and found, you know, how to behave and just, in simplest terms, not be a jerk. However, according to Fred Glass, in November of this season, some of that, quote, bad behavior bubbled over once again. And I think that there were some, as we know now, there was an investigation in 2015, Indiana went to a bowl game. The investigation determined that medical care was not compromised, which to me, that is very important. It does not appear that, according to the investigations by external law firm, so this is not someone that was, you would hope, not someone, not a law firm that was just trying to cover Indiana's, you know, cover Indiana's backside. Medical care was not compromised in any situations. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, but according to these reports, medical care was not compromised. So for me, that's very important that the players that were given medical care for injuries, it was not compromised. Now, there's been at least one article that's come out that would suggest maybe otherwise, that a player was rushed back from an injury, a back injury, and is still having complications from that. But I think that the large crux of the issue is Glass and Kevin Wilson continue to have, I guess, as Fred Glass said, philosophical differences, which to me, I read between the lines and I say, as Fred Glass was, you can quote him in the press conference, demanding without being demeaning. And I think that in Fred Glass's eyes, Kevin Wilson too often went to a place of demeaning players, and in this case, I suppose we can say it was injured players, kind of maybe he thought that those were motivational tactics to get them to work harder in rehab or however you want to do. We cannot put ourselves into situations we were not at. It is turning into a kind of a he said with different factions, I guess, within former players. But it appears that Fred Glass believed Kevin Wilson went to a place of demeaning, whereas he is more of a positive leadership kind of guy. And we've heard Tom Crean say the same thing, be demanding without being demeaning. So I think it's obvious that's something within the athletic department that's talked about. I think overall for the program, it's very important to look at the positives that Kevin Wilson did accomplish here. There's a lot of people and a lot of players that really feel like they owe a lot to Kevin Wilson and that he did a lot for their football careers and for themselves as developing as young men. I think it's very important to look at that. I will remember Kevin Wilson's time at Indiana fondly. The offenses with Tevin Coleman and Jordan Howard and Nate Sudfeld, those are going to be, you know, some of the best offenses that we ever see at Indiana. And this year, seeing the defense improve as it did and Indiana finding a way to get to 6 wins despite often not playing its best, I'll remember that fondly as well. However, you do have to counterbalance that with the negatives, which were at times, you know, he was unnecessarily harsh with with media and at press conferences. I thought that he, if these reports are true, which it appears that it, you know, there is some, I would say maybe not a smoking gun incident per se, but a large, maybe a handful of incidents that if there's nothing there, if these are all just made up, then there's no way Kevin Wilson resigned. So there is some behavior you don't want to see. You don't want to have players forced back from injury. So I think that there's kind of two sides to the coin. And for Indiana football as a whole, I know that some people would have liked to have a national search done. I was perfectly fine with promoting Tom Allen as the head coach. I think he deserves this opportunity. And I think this could, as we'll discuss further on, I think this could end up being a net positive for Indiana football if Tom Allen can keep the offense humming along at a somewhat comparable pace to what it has been. And let's not kid ourselves, this year's offense was not good. It was fine, but it wasn't good, and it certainly wasn't great. So if Indiana's offense can kind of return somewhat to form to what we saw somewhere in between 2015 and 2016, then I think this could end up being a very good hire for Indiana football, and I have absolutely no problem with them immediately naming Tom Allen the head coach. And I hope that the current team is not kind of divided over what happened. I know that a lot of guys are going to be disappointed with Kevin Wilson leaving abruptly, and I certainly understand that, and it appears that a lot of former players and a lot of current players did not have a problem with Kevin Wilson. So I don't think this was some, every player felt mistreated or Kevin Wilson was consistently, a demeaning force towards the Indiana players. But it's clear that there were a few too many incidents than there should have been, and it ultimately led to his tenure ending at Indiana. Some good, some bad, and I think a lot right now it appears that the negative is mostly what's getting covered. And I don't think that's entirely fair towards what he's accomplished in Indiana, but for me it's excitement for Tom Allen, and I'll remember Kevin Wilson's tenure in Indiana largely positively.
Yeah, and to me it's, I'm hearing a lot in the background more about how he's treated support staff. Administrators and things like that. And those things, as Fred Glass said, there was no smoking gun. There was no singular event that precipitated the change. But those things add up. And then you have these three players who it looks like are Nick Caravalano, Larae Smith, and Dom Booth. And all three guys look like they have an axe to grind, and whether or not they were mistreated or things like that, we don't know. We didn't see anything at practice.
Right.
I know that in the Indy Star article, there's a medical tent that's outside for injured players to work through. But the thing to me that stands out is that all year fans have been complaining about how long IU players take to get back from injury and things like that. Like Dan Feeney took 4 weeks to come back from a concussion, and I can't tell you how many times we've gotten tweets, texts, emails, hey, when's Dan Feeney coming back? What's up with Dan Feeney? Is this more than a concussion? Things like that.
Yeah, we wondered ourselves.
Yeah. Who knows what actually went on. I feel bad for those three players. If they're, those injuries prevent them from playing football. Dom Booth is never cleared by IU to play again. He was cleared by an outside doctor, so it wasn't, something's not right there. If you're forcing him to play, why is he not cleared by an IU doctor? And he wants to play and things like that. And he's looking to transfer in the spring as well. Something wasn't right there, and I don't think it's all on player mistreatment. Now, could that have been an issue where he was barking at players, calling them names and whatnot for not playing. And did that rub people the wrong way? Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he was, you know, another thing is, you know, one of the players said he was forced to run 6 miles after going through concussion protocol. When in football are you running 6 miles? If you're running 6 miles, you're either something's wrong or you're, you know, there's clearly something wrong. Because if you're running for 6 miles and some team scoring 100 touchdowns, or, you know, something's wrong. Who knows? We're going to move on from it unless something bigger comes out. And we're going to get Matt Weaver on here in a few minutes to talk about recruiting, the impact that Tom Allen will be recruiting.
One thing real quick, just because of the timing of this, and I in case people did not see this because there was a flurry of news that came out, Xander Diamant was not one of the players who was alleging mistreatment. Yes, he is stepping away from football due to a concern about concussions, but he came out with a statement saying he knew nothing about it and that he never felt mistreated or rushed back from any injuries at all from the IU staff or Kevin Wilson in particular. So Xander Diamant, you know, the timing of it was ironic, but Xander Diamant was not one of the players that alleged mistreatment and in fact came out and said he never felt at all mistreated or rushed back from injury. So I just wanted to point that out because I did get a couple questions about it. And yes, the timing was ironic, but totally unrelated.
Yeah, and then it goes hand in hand with Wilson's comments after the Purdue game where he said, he asked if Xander was going to, you know, hey, are you having second thoughts about coming back and stuff like that. But that was way before Xander even mentioned that it was a concussion issue and that he needed his brain. But right now, let's bring in Matt Weaver from Pegs.com to talk a little recruiting. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Doing excellent. So, Matt, lots of changes going around with IU football today. Last week. How is this going to have an impact on recruiting? It seems like the recruits have tweeted out their support for Coach Allen and the current staff.
Well, I mean, so far it doesn't look like there's any commits that are really wavering. I mean, there's probably a few that maybe have some questions or kind of you may be a little bit confused, but I think for the most part I'm hearing that the class is still committed, still pretty solidly committed. You know, how it changes recruiting, it obviously changes basically the big changes is how the coaches go out because now Tom Allen is the head coach, and the head coach is only allowed to do, if I'm not mistaken, one in-home per recruit, whereas an assistant coach can do one in-home per week. So he can go see a guy, you know, 2-3 weeks in a row and do an in-home, whereas as a head coach, he can only go one time overall. So they got to kind of juggle the schedule a little bit to kind of change that. And then you have Sean Watson, who's out on the road recruiting. He was a quality control coach, and he's taken over quarterback coach duties, you know, leading up to the bowl game. He's out on the road recruiting. And actually him and Coach Johns went down to Texas last night and saw a receiver, Bo Corrales, who I think is supposed to be visiting next week, if I'm not mistaken. So the biggest change really is just kind of doing the schedule and kind of getting all that stuff lined up. But as far as the targets, I don't think that'll change much. And you know, you hope that the commitment class doesn't change much as far as any guys jumping ship.
Matt, just the class being largely of a defensive nature so far, do you think that has something – I mean, it's kind of a fortunate thing, but do you think that it has something to do with the class – really having no doubts that, I kind of committed to Tom Allen and Mark Hagan and the defensive guys, and they're still going to be there clearly. So do you think that is playing a role in kind of a seamless transition recruiting-wise?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps. I mean, Tom Allen, obviously he didn't come in until, you know, back in, I think, mid-January. So he's relatively new, but still he was you know, obviously heavily involved in recruiting all these defensive guys, him and Coach Hagan, who came in around the same time. And, you know, a number of the defensive, seven of them, I believe, are D-line commits of the nine that they have of their total of 15. So, you know, I think that is definitely a you know, very beneficial thing and definitely helps, you know, keep those guys on board because that's who they're committing to. The way Kevin Wilson had set up, he was basically the head coach of the offense and the D coordinator is the kind of the head coach of the defense. And for those guys, that's not really changing.
What going forward, you know, Matt, they have 15 commits. Are you looking at one, how many total commits are they looking to taking? And two, what else do they need in this class? We've been talking amongst, you know, ourselves at Hoosier Huddle and then, you know, with fans that they probably are going to need a linebacker, maybe a quarterback, a defensive back, and a running back. What are some of the other needs in this class, if any?
Well, I think, you know, they're at 15. Really, it's 16 because you got to count Ryan Smith, who signed in back in February with the 2016 class, but he's basically gray-shirting, so he kind of he jumps forward to this class. So I think it's going to be close to a full class, if not a full class. So if you assume they got 25 spots or 25 signees coming in, you got 9 spots left. You know, defensively, you know, they still like to get Bobby Rountree, the D end, from out of down at Largo, Florida, where they've had a lot of success recruiting. Probably a couple linebackers, and then, you know, one or two, I'm guessing probably two corners. So there's 5 right there. You know, they want to get a quarterback. I think they're done on the O-line. I think they're done at tight end. So you get a quarterback, a couple receivers, and a running back that puts you at 9 more guys. So that's kind of how I see it. I mean, offense, with Xander leaving, you know, I think they need to get a quarterback. I think that really maybe didn't need it before, but now I think you kind of have to get a quarterback. And then, you know, you'd like to get a running back. You don't lose anybody. And maybe the safe bet is Camion goes back there next year. But you're going to have a couple seniors in Camion and Devine if that happens. So you want to start kind of playing for the future. And then receiver, you're losing a couple guys. So, you know, like to get a couple receivers. And then, like I said, another D end, couple linebackers, couple corners.
Matt, let's switch it to Kevin Wilson leaving. What are your thoughts on how he left? What does it mean for this program that Tom Allen's going to take over?
Well, I mean, I don't think anything like this is ever ideal. I think as splits go, and let's, you know, for lack of a better word, divorces go, this was probably about as amicable as you could get. You know, I caught a little bit of what you guys were talking about. I don't completely buy the injury reason. I think there was more stuff to it. But obviously that was an issue and a concern. I'm going back to, I think, 2015 with, you know, Caraviano and the Dominic Booth situation. You know, it's a tough deal. I think having Tom Allen on staff, you know, I'm not saying they made a decision because of that, but it makes it a lot easier to make this decision. I mean, if it's a year ago, there's really no head coach in waiting on the staff, in my opinion. So, you know, you might still make the decision if you're in that position, but you're probably going to have to go out and do a national search. I think it gives them the most seamless transition. I mean, it's not totally without its you know, bumps in the road, but if you can keep most of the staff together, you keep the commitments together, I think it keeps the program basically head on the same path it was. If you start over with a new coach, more than likely you're getting a mid-major guy. And to me, you're setting the program back a couple years because this class is basically going to be junk. The 2018 class will probably be mediocre at best. And so you have 2 bad classes, which would show up in 3 or 4 years on the field. I think this is the best chance to keep the program headed on the trajectory it was going. You know, it's not ideal, obviously, but you know, I think Tom Allen's got a chance to be a good head coach. He's got everything you're looking for. He just doesn't have the experience, but, you know, neither did Kevin Wilson. So it's going to be an interesting time, especially the next month. I'll be interested to see what happens with the staff after the bowl game and maybe even after signing day, if there's any changes, any tweaks to it. It wouldn't surprise me if there are, but we'll have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, that's been a popular question. Go ahead,
yeah,
TJ.
Yeah, I'm curious how, I mean, we cannot kind of have any idea really what how recruits are going to view the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, Kevin Wilson was so synonymous with the Indiana offense, and I know that there were quite a few concerns from Indiana fans about, you know, well, you know, why aren't we getting that kind of blue chip or even close to blue chip quarterback in here? So you kind of wonder, well, was that something with the coaching staff, and will a change in the offensive staff kind of allow us to get that name quarterback? But I think for me, the biggest question in recruiting is how big of a can it have in-state? I think that the 2017 class looks pretty strong in-state for Indiana. And I think Tom Allen, for me, deserves a lot of credit for that. And I've heard from a couple of different Indy area high school coaches that they really love Tom Allen and would feel very good about sending their players to a program led by him. What kind of impact do you think it can have in-state to have Tom Allen as the head coach at IU?
Well, like you said, I think it can only help it. I mean, they've done really well in-state this year. Last year, obviously, they struggled. I think they only got two guys. You know, to me, that was a lot of that was attributed to kind of the uncertainty, because you have to remember, when they were recruiting those guys, you know, people were wondering what was going to happen with Kevin Wilson, the contract. He didn't have the new contract yet. The one thing this staff has not done under Kevin Wilson in-state is they haven't really been able to get one of those top two or three guys, one of those four or five-star – well, they've gotten four-star, yeah, but like a five-star, like a – you know, they did have Gunnar Keel for a while, but that didn't pan out. Like a Hunter Johnson or a Brandon Peters or one of these kind of marquee guys where you beat out Ohio State or Notre Dame or Michigan or somebody like that. Now, they did it a few years ago with, you know, David Kenny, Antonio Allen, and Darius Latham class. Obviously, that was a monumental disaster when you look back on it. But they still did get some good guys. But to me, that's what I'm interested in seeing going forward. Can you nab one of those, you know, top tier guys and beat out a big time program? You know, and it's really hurt in the last couple of years at quarterback, as you said, because they've had two really good ones in back to back years. And really, I mean, they were close with Brandon Peters. Hunter Johnson, I don't know if it ever got that far down the road, but Brandon Peters, you know, I think the thing I've heard is they were the second choice, but, you know, at some point you got to stop being the bridesmaid and be the bride. You got to get somebody.
Yeah. Do you think that this staff has is it fair to say that we don't know how recruits are going to view this staff, because we don't know what the offensive side is quite going to look like? We don't know about Kevin John's future. We don't know if Sean Watson is going to be, it appears to me that, you know, moving him into the quarterback coach would indicate he's going to be a part of the staff in some capacity after the bowl game. But so I guess first question is it fair to say we don't know how recruits are going to view the offensive side, so that there might be a while before we get another offensive commit as they kind of wait and see? And then question two is, if we can kind of gauge how recruits might view a change, or just say, I like Tom Allen in general, do you think this staff will start to be able to land, you know, some of those top guys in state that are on the offensive side of the ball that so far are choosing, you know, usually Michigan or Notre Dame or Ohio State, and I guess Clemson in the case of Hunter Johnson as well. So I guess kind of twofold there, for how you see the offensive side shaking out recruiting-wise.
Well, the first question, that's something I haven't – you know, I'm going to try to get a hold of Tyler Knight, because he visited this weekend and took his official this weekend, and he is an early enrollee. But, you know, one of the things I want to kind of ask him is, what was the message from Tom Allen about the offensive side, you know, more specifically your position coach, Greg Fye, who's extremely popular – you know, he does a great job recruiting O-linemen, and he's a popular guy with his recruits. And then just kind of, you know, the offense in general, you know, I don't know how much they told him, how much he's allowed to talk about, but, you know, I'm going to see. And then, I'm going to try to get a hold of Bo Corrales, who I said earlier, Sean Watson and Kevin Johns went down to see last night, and you know that kind of tells you what they think about him, because you know, their first night out, they go down to see him. So he's obviously a guy that they're really targeting. I mean, his senior film is outstanding. His stats were phenomenal. He's down in Texas, so you know he's playing good competition. I've messaged with his dad a little bit. He really, really likes Indiana. He'd prefer, in an ideal world, I think he'd like to play closer to Texas, but he loves Indiana, and I think they got a great shot to land him. But to me, that was before when I was messaging him. That was when there was the staff hadn't had this change. So we'll see how it is after this. But that's one of the questions I'm going to ask is, you know, what kind of feedback have you gotten? Because you're going to have to tell these guys something. It's going to have. I'm sure there's a plan in place. I just don't know what it is right now. And then the second question, that's one of the interesting questions or things for me is, can Tom Allen do what Indiana hasn't done for the most part, and that's nab one of the, you know, like the number one player in the state. The number one player in the state of Indiana is usually a guy that's good enough to play almost anywhere in the country. That may not be the case every single year, but lately it has been. And usually you have, you know, maybe a couple more of those guys. Can they, you know, they've gotten kind of that 4 to 5 on down range as far as the rankings in Indiana. Can they get 1, 2, or 3? With Tom Allen and his connections, I think they got a good shot. Now, a lot of it's going to, you know, you need to kind of do it on the field too and show, and players want to see that the programs continue to move the right direction. But, you know, I think Allen, and nothing against Kevin Wilson, he was a good recruiter. I mean, Indiana's recruiting is as good as it's been ever under Kevin Wilson. But for whatever reason, and I'm not sure I can put my finger on it, they just struggled at quarterback. And that's nothing against Austin King or Peyton Ramsey or even Richard Lego, but they always were kind of going down the recruiting board. These were kind of like their second or third choices instead of getting their first choice. And it's really the only position that I can think of where they never got their first choice pretty much the entire time they were recruiting, you know, the different positions. So the second part, to me, it's kind of wait and see. I like their chances, but we'll have to kind of see how it shakes out and, you know, what the kind of plan is with the staff going forward and the way they recruit.
Matt, there was some breaking news today out of Purdue with Jeff Brohm being named head coach. You know, a lot of IU fans are feeling a little bit uneasy that now Purdue has passed us up on, you know, a quality of coach maybe. Was there any issue? Did you have any issue with Fred Glass not conducting a search, or was this a little bit of IU was too late to the party in terms of starting a coaching search that may have just landed on Tom Allen anyway?
No, I mean, listen, was there a part of me that was like, well, let's, you know, because of where the program's at as compared to where it was 6 years ago, was there a part of me that said, you know, it'd be interesting to see what kind of names you could get if you opened it up? Sure, but as I said earlier, you know, I think if you – let's be honest. I mean, what's – you know, Indiana's paying – the contract for Kevin Wilson was about $15 million, I think, for 6 years, so roughly $2.5 million. I could see – to me, the most they would go is $3 million a year. I don't see them going over that. And probably if they would open a national search, maybe you go 2.75, 2.8. You're still going for a guy where it's a bit of a gamble. You're going to go for kind of the mid-major or maybe a coordinator type. And there's risk involved. So my thing is, I think by hiring Tom Allen, you've minimized some of that risk because you've got the staff in place, you got him in place, you kind of know what you got as far as how he deals with people, how he works, you know what he's done. So I didn't have a big problem with it. I know I'm sure there are fans that do, but you know, I mean, unless Indiana is going to pony up $4 or $5 million, which is not going to happen because they're not going to pay their football coach more than their basketball coach. That's not going to happen. You know, you're going to be playing that game. And like you said, you're quite a bit behind. I mean, Purdue's had what, a couple of month or so, at least. I'm trying to think when they fired Hazel. It's been a while, if not 2 months.
Mid-October.
Okay. So yeah, you're way behind them, and that's who you're going to be competing with. You're going to be competing with them and, you know, Cincinnati. Tuberville resigned, but I would guess that Cincinnati has probably at least kind of had some names in mind because of the poor season they had. So while they may not have actively started the search, they've probably got an idea of who they're going to go after. So I don't have a problem with the route Indiana took at all. I think all things considered, I think it was the right choice, and I think Tom Allen's going to do a good job.
All right. Thanks, Matt, for joining us today. We look forward to your coverage more. Let's talk a little bit about the bowl game. How important is it for this team to go out to California, play a game on national TV against the 19th ranked Utah team?
Well, I think for the this has probably been hardest on the players this whole situation because
yeah.
You know they were close to Kevin Wilson. So I think, you know, not just the bowl game, but just getting back out on the practice field, which they've started to do a little bit, it's probably kind of a little bit of almost like therapy for them. I mean, that's where they can go out and they can play football and they don't have to think about all the stuff. You know, they don't have the social media stuff hitting them up. So, you know, I think two schools of thought, and some people are like, well, this team could be flat and all that. I think they're going to rally. I think they're going to, you know, I would be more worried if Tom Allen would have been just kind of like a lame duck interim coach. Then I would have been more worried
yep.
about the team's mindset, because then as a player, you're probably thinking as much about who's my next coach going to be. Is it going to be Tom Allen or is it going to be somebody else, as you are about the game? I think they obviously know who their coach is. Now they can focus on the game. You know, I don't think offensively things are going to change much. I don't think you've completely, you know, overhaul what you've been doing for almost six years under Kevin Wilson. Kevin Johns has been there the whole time. So I think the offense, maybe the play calling is a little different. You know, that remains to be seen. Defensively, we know what they're going to do. So I don't think there's going to be a huge change in how they do things. And, you know, Utah's a tough matchup. They've got a solid squad, but I think it's a team that Indiana, they play good teams. I mean, they're no better than Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State or Nebraska, in my opinion. Indiana played all those teams toe-to-toe, and I expect them to do it when they go out to California later this month.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us, and have a wonderful rest of the Monday. And I think your golfing weather has passed.
Well, I feel completely under the weather myself, so I'm not going to be doing anything today. But trying to get a little bit of work done.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much,
Matt. Yeah, we appreciate it.
That was Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. TJ, some big takeaways, and I want to compare it to Purdue hiring Brohm, is that IU had started their, we'll call it a coaching search, but the new coaches are starting way higher than Purdue is in terms of,
yep.
as Matt said, keeping the train rolling in the right direction. So we'll see where it goes. TJ, you wrote about Utah today, just a preliminary forecast for the bowl game. Utah went 8-4, 5-4 in the Pac-12. They kind of slid off at the end of the season. I think they lost three of the last four games. They lost to Oregon, Colorado, and a couple other teams. But this is a very good team with a great defensive line. You know, what else do we need to know about Utah?
Yeah. The lost three of the last four is correct. You know, two of those losses, Washington and Colorado, certainly understandable. Those are both very good teams. Oregon, not a good team this year, and that was a home loss, which was really surprising for Utah, and I think very disappointing. And that loss to Oregon, I mean, they had things on the line. You know, they were still alive for the Pac-12 South Championship if they could have won those final two games, and the loss to Oregon ended that and made their game against Colorado largely just playing for bowl position, a win against Colorado in their season finale, and maybe they're in the Holiday Bowl or something like that. But, so they lost three of their last four. What jumps off the page to you right away for this team is that defensive front. It's a ferocious pass rush. They're eighth in the country in sacks, led by Hunter Dimick, who is, I would compare him kind of favorably to like a Carl Nassib or a Garrett Sickles. You know, just a really never-ending motor pass rusher that has 14 and a half sacks. That is second in the country, only a half sack behind the leaders. He's really, really good, and he could take over a game just from a pressure standpoint if Indiana kind of allows him to. They do move him around some, but you can't really double him too much because the rest of the line is really good too. It would be foolish of me to try and pronounce some of the names on this without doing quite a bit of studying up on it, because they have, you know, quite a few Samoan Pacific Islander guys that that populate the Pac-12.
Spelling nightmare.
If you'll remember Starlo Tulele for Utah, he is, his family member is a junior. They have two other seniors that start up front for them. So it's a veteran defensive line that really sets the tone for their defense. Offensively, they have a backfield of Williams, Troy Williams as their quarterback. Not that one, Hoosier fans. This is another Troy Williams that, you know, much like IU's version, flashes brilliance at times, but is also quite erratic. I think he kind of does compare just in, you know, baseline evaluation to Richard Lego. Lego has more potential and has a better arm, but they both, you know, show flashes of ability like, hey, this guy's really good. And then they'll miss two or three throws where it's kind of like, what were you thinking? You know, what's going on there? Where it's just, you know, you miss by 5 or 6 feet. He's not complete. He's not very efficient. I think it's like 53% on the season completion rate. He is capable of throwing the deep ball. They have a running back by the name of Joe Williams, who retired from football after the first two games of the season, wasn't doing much, had less than 100 yards total in those first two games, walked away from football for a few weeks. Utah's backfield got depleted with injuries. The coaches went back to him and asked him to come back to the team if he, you know, would reconsider his position. And he kind of said, you know, I've been missing it. I'd like that opportunity. So he came back and kind of rattled off a tremendous stretch of games where he was just on fire, averaging, I think he's at 6.2 yards per carry on the season. And he's over 1,100 yards now despite missing four games. So Joe Williams is kind of the bell cow of their offense. They do not have a ton behind him at running back because of some injuries. He is a senior, so this is going to be his last game at Utah. He'll have a shot in the NFL if he wants to take it. I don't know how he feels about football since he walked away from it. But they'll lean on him on offense. He'll get 25 to 30 carries on the 28th of December against Indiana. Now, IU's played really good running backs before, and they've done pretty well this year against them. The goal for Indiana's defense, before we get too deep into this game, just the bare-bones goal for Indiana, is force this offense into third and long situations and make Troy Williams beat you. That's going to be what they do. They don't have a great receiving core. They're okay. They have a receiver, Tim Patrick, that is their best, but, I mean, you know, he's just over 600 yards and hasn't scored since September. So they don't have a great group of receivers. They're not it's not a position group that's going to scare you. Troy Williams, erratic, like I said, he's inconsistent, inefficient, capable of having very good games, but, I mean, his last one against Colorado was dreadful. He was 13 of 40 for like 100 and something yards with a touchdown and two picks. So stop Joe Williams, who's a very good running back. He'll be up there with the best Indiana's played at running back this year. Saquon Barkley's better, but other than that, he's right up there, capable of breaking off the big play. He won't hurt you out of the backfield catching, so it's pretty much hand off to Troy Williams or to Joe Williams in a pro-style type offense, and they'll go from there. It's kind of a spread look, but they operate as kind of a pro-style with their running game. Slow that down, force them into passing, and then on offense for Indiana, I think they'll need to rely on, the way to beat Utah is to kind of take their defensive front out of the game with quick passes, quick slants, quick dropbacks that do not allow that pass rush to affect the game. Indiana has not a ton of that this season, and they have not really been able to control the line of scrimmage as you would hope. So it's going to be a big task for the offensive line and a big task for play caller Kevin Johns to figure out how to kind of neutralize one of the best defensive lines in the country. So I think it's a very interesting matchup, just off the just off the page, the first couple of days seeing it, Utah favored right now by about 9 points, I think, and most advanced stat models have it somewhere between 7 and 10 points for Utah. This is certainly not an overwhelming opponent, but Utah understandably the favorite in this matchup, and I am looking forward to seeing how they come out motivation-wise. They're 9-1 in bowl games under Kyle Whittingham, who took over when Urban Meyer went to Florida. So he's been there for 12 years, and in 10 games that they've gone to in bowls, he's 9-1. So he clearly knows how to do it. But motivation will be a bit of a factor playing Indiana, who I can't imagine their fans have too much respect for. And then, you know, they are just, you know, a couple of short weeks away from feeling like they had a very legitimate chance at the Rose Bowl if they could win out, and then they lose those two games and find themselves in the Foster Farms Bowl. So motivation will be a bit of a concern for them. I think Indiana's going to go out there and play very hard. I don't know how well they're going to play because it's impossible to tell, you know, with this, you know, massive change of coaching and just so much time off. But I think Indiana's going to be fresh, you know, after playing 10 straight weeks, and I think they'll put together a very tough, hard-nosed performance under Tom Allen. I think they'll play very hard for him in his first game, and I think that's going to be kind of the tenor of his however long his career is at Indiana. I think his teams are always going to play hard for him, and he's going to have guys that love him because he loves them, and I think that's kind of the message we've taken from Tom Allen so far in his time at Indiana. But as far as Utah goes, I do wonder if the Utes will come out with the and match the fire that Indiana's going to play with. I think that this game will mean more. I think it'll mean more for the Hoosiers than it will for the Utes, but Utah understandably a favorite. We'll have a ton more preview coverage on this. We'll analyze this game to death, but I'm excited for the matchup. I think it'll look cool on TV. Utah's got some cool red and black uniforms. Indiana's got the red and white, so combinations will look nice, and hopefully the weather will be nice in California and make it worth the trip for Hoosier fans.
Yeah, and another thing, if Hoosier fans want to watch some Utah games, you know, some people haven't been able to watch Pac-12 after dark, you could go to Pac-12 Networks. They have an app. It's free. It's like BTN to go. They have all the games in the 60-minute form, like Big Ten football in 60 on there. It's a great way to watch, you know, what Utah is. I've watched, you know, one or two of the games so far, and it's a good way to get to know that opponent. I'm looking forward to the trip out to Santa Clara. I'm not expecting a ton of IU fans, or it's just such an expensive trip. It's so far. If you are going, I suggest flying into San Jose, staying in a hotel in San Jose. It's about an hour south of San Francisco. It's closer to Santa Clara. It's closer to the stadium, and it's just generally cheaper. I know I've seen a lot of these travel packages which have hotels in San Francisco, and they're close to $4,000. It will be an expensive trip, but I would suggest looking down south in the San Jose area for your hotels. It's closer to the stadium. It's cheaper. I think it might not be as fun as San Francisco or as interesting as San Francisco, but it will save you a little bit of money. And then there is a commuter train that goes up to San Francisco, so you could go visit the San Francisco area, the Bay Area, and do all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to it. It's a matchup we haven't seen all that much. Utah last played Indiana in 2002. They played three games all time. Indiana is behind in that series 2-1, but it's a matchup that, you know, we don't get to see that often in any of the sports that IU plays, and yep. It'll be a it should help recruiting on the West Coast, as it'll give some viewers some eyeballs on that game. The game kicks off at 8:30 on Fox. you know, there's a little overlap with IU. I think they play Nebraska in basketball that evening. There's a slight.
I think they're gonna bump that game up. I would bet quite a bit that they end up bumping the Nebraska game up to like 5.
Yeah, if they don't bump it up, there's about a half an hour overlap, so that'll probably put you in the middle of the first quarter, the way college football games move. But it's a big day for IU, and we'll have all your coverage on HoosierHuddle.com. TJ, thanks for joining us on this chilly Monday, and we'll get you back inside.
Absolutely, yeah. I appreciate everybody that's listening to us. I know it was a bit of a crazy ending of last week, and I do think that Indiana football is still very much on solid footing with a good leader at the helm, and I'm excited for the bowl game and for the off season to start seeing what the Tom Allen led program looks like, and I know he's excited to lead it. It means a lot to him. To be the head coach at IU, you can really tell that, and I think it'll show on the field.
Definitely. So thanks for joining us for the podcast. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com often. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have all your bowl coverage, regular game day coverage or game week coverage, and then any updates on recruiting, any other bombshell news that might come out and things like that. Also, Christmas and holiday season is upon us. We still have our Amazon ads up on the website right now. We changed it from on the rebound to the new IU football jersey with the candy striped sleeves. So, you know, if you're looking for good Christmas gifts and you look on Amazon, please help us out. It helps with expenses of running the site. It's not free to run, but we want to keep it free to you, the fans, and you can help us out a lot by doing your holiday shopping on Amazon.com through our link on our site, and we appreciate the support. We've had a handful of people already order through there, so thank you to them, and we'll be back with a more in-depth preview on Utah and on recruiting as we move forward.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car-selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.